So it takes you back to the childhood experiences of soul consciousness. Okay, thank you. We'll move on because we only have a short time this afternoon. But I remember a few years ago, maybe quite a few years ago, Bap Dada gave a formula to experience. Very simple formula. Baba said, become a point first. Second, apply a point. Third, remember a point. And in a sense, those three steps encapsulate the entry into spiritual experience. And perhaps another way we could describe them as the three steps to deep detachment, or the three steps that open the world of spiritual experience. And the first step, become a point, the absolute essence of our journey. My own experience is, as much as I become the seed, the point, completely detached from the body, it's proportional to how much I move into the world of spiritual experience. It's the entry point. It's the key. But secondly, apply a point. And it's like putting a full stop, saying past is past, putting a break to the overactive mind. And I actually remember once Daddy Jenki saying that the qualification of the eight jewels is that they can put a full stop in 1 second. Is it easy? And yet ultimately, this is like the training that Baba is giving us. And I remember once observing Dadiji. I saw Dadiji in the courtyard once in Pandav Bhavan. And you know, Dadiji, for those of us who knew her, she would come out into the courtyard and acknowledge everybody. Dadiji's specialty was just love for all. And she was acknowledging people and talking to a few, and then one person was quite rude to her, very rude. And I just noticed Dadiji just went on to the next person and just kept moving. She didn't absorb anything. It was almost like instantly put the full stop and continued on. And I've really tried to practice this because I observe one of the deepest habits of the mind is to dwell, is to process, is to analyze. And the law, the spiritual law, says the more my mind does that, the less I will experience. The more the overthinking, a little scene of life happens and it just kickstarts overthinking and I can't stop, it will cancel my capacity to have rich spiritual experiences. So become a point, apply a point, remember a point. And ultimately, our highest destination is to remember Shiv Baba in his eternal form. But the method, the natural method, is love. And I find that when I feel loved, when the mind tastes love, have you noticed the mind just cools right down? It's like the antidote to everything. The mind just calms right down. The first need in life is love. The first desire of the human soul is love. And when it's there, everything cools down and I can experience. But if the mind doesn't taste love, a million other desires emerge. And you know, sometimes the agitated mind, when it doesn't taste love, it's constantly looking for something. You know, it can never rest. I'd say love is the key. And so that formula that Baba gave us is like the formula for becoming detached, the formula for having spiritual experience. And I want to read you something from Amuli in 1969. It's just a paragraph because In those days, it was like Baba was leading the bhatis. Baba was the one conducting the bhatis himself. And he says something beautiful about this drill. So Baba says that you have to make the mind practice this drill. You must definitely practice coming into sound in 1 second and going beyond sound in 1 second. Practice coming into thoughts about service in 1 second and going beyond thought and stabilizing yourself in your original form in 1 second. This drill is absolutely essential. It should not be that you are unable to move away from physical consciousness. Come into physical consciousness for the sake of a task in 1 second and then become bodiless in the next second. Those who have made this drill firm are able to face all situations. Just as you are made to practice physical drill in the morning, in the same way you must especially practice this avyak drill at Amrit Vela. You have to do it throughout the day, but the time for this special practice is Amrit Vela. When you see that your intellect is very busy, what should we do? Practice at that time. Even while in a situation, are you able to make your intellect detached? Only when you perform all your actions in a detached stage will you be able to remain detached. If you have attachment to the task, you will not be able to become detached in 1 second. This is why you must practice this no matter what the situation is. Because the final paper will be many fearsome situations, and you will be amidst situations which you would not wish to be in. Compared to those situations, the situations of today are nothing. The final paper will take place amidst the final situations. You must prepare for that beforehand. This is why when you see that you are very busy, that the intellect is very busy in a physical task, and that the circumstances are such that they are pulling you in all directions, practice it at that time. Then you will know to what extent you are able to practice the drill. This is most essential, Baba says again. If you continue this drill, you will achieve success. There is a number for each subject. This is the main thing. If you are good in this, you can claim a good number. If you are lacking in this subject, you will not be able to claim a number ahead in the final result. This is why you are told that together with being a knowledgeable soul, you also have to be a loving soul. Those who are loving receive love. When you have a lot of love for someone, it is said, This one has no awareness of anything else at all. The meaning of having no awareness of anything else is that you forget the awareness of even your own physical form. The love of the intellect should be for no one except the One. Do you like hearing words like that? It's like there's a chorus. 16th of October, 1969. Sometimes I think pure truth, it's like pure truth. And Baba is absolutely telling us that we have to practice this drill. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go next door again and have a little experiment with another drill. So the three steps. Become a point, apply a point, remember a point. So this is, as Baba was saying, it's like the method to become completely detached. It's like the fitness of Brahman life. And the more I practice, the more I enter the realm of spiritual experience and spiritual feelings. So I think we can leave our things here. We'll only be going next door briefly. So I'm sorry, but we're going to go in there once again, and I will let you know what to do once we get there. Thank you. As you pass people, meet them through the eyes, see the soul, and every so often I'll just say, stop and go beyond. And just experiment, just for a minute or so, with becoming a point, applying a point, and remembering the point. So just move around slowly, giving drishti, and then when I say stop, just stop there and go beyond. And just observe what happens inside when you do that. Is that okay? Okay, so we'll play some music. Can we please remain in complete silence, thank you. Just walk quietly, meeting your brothers and sisters through the eyes. See the soul sparkling. I, the soul, meet the soul. Go deep in soul consciousness. Again, and just begin walking, sharing love through the eyes, only see the soul, see the brother. Now stop. Become a point. Apply a point. Remember a point. Stop. Become bodiless and absorb in one Baba. Thank you. into action and bring Baba with you. But now walk a little faster, move a little bit more, but carry these feelings with you. Just remain centered in your own self-respect with Baba. Detached and go beyond to Baba. Faster, just walk normally, but keep these feelings with you. You're not getting dizzy going from here to there. So how did you go in those few minutes? Were you able to go beyond? I can see a lot nodding. Was it sometimes easy, sometimes difficult?
Yeah.
When you got the signal, did you find your mind wanted to continue?
Yeah.
And this is why I think Baba, that little piece I read was beautiful, wasn't it? Because it's like Baba saying, children, this practice is essential. And I think it makes us strong. It really gives the strength back, because ultimately what's in the heart of each and every one of us in this room, I think more than anything, we want to have a complete experience of Baba. Is that right? I mean, that's why we've taken up this life. Ultimately, I want to have a constant feeling of closeness. And it's like, this is the only time in eternity I can know God as He is. And I want to not just believe, I want to feel, I want to taste. And I often ask myself the question, how much do I remember Baba? And the answer is usually not enough. And I heard a lovely story about Daddy Prakashmani in 1968. Brahma Baba held a seminar in Pandav Bhavan in the History Hall. And Baba got all the seniors from around India. And they sat around in the History Hall and Baba asked them all, how much do you remember Baba? How much do you remember Baba, to each one? I love it. We have seminars on global functioning and things like that, you know. Baba had it on these things. And when it came to Daddyji, Daddyji said 1 hour a day. And Baba praised Daddyji for her honesty. And when I heard that, it made me feel a lot better. Does it make you feel a lot better too? But I think that there's different grades or qualities of remembrance. Like I was saying this morning, we can say there's like action consciousness. When we do action for Baba, the motive, the intent is with love for Baba. And so we have an experience of like karma yoga. It is an experience, but it's, shall we say, a low-grade experience. The second type of yoga, if I can say, is what I call indirect remembrance. That's when I remember Baba's knowledge, I churn the knowledge, I remember Baba's qualities, I think of the powers, etc. And it's not transforming me, it's not purifying me, but it gives the experience of pure thoughts, and pure thoughts give me that temporary experience. But the third quality of yoga is what I call direct remembrance, where the soul is 100% absorbed in one Baba. Total absorption, the soul completely beyond the consciousness of the body. And this is when we have absolute experience of my true self and Baba. And I think this is what Daddyji was talking about, is that quality of remembrance. When I started, I remember Daddy Jenki telling us that if you wake up in the morning and you don't have that quality of yoga, try to make up for it sometime in the day. Because it's this quality that really gives me the true experience and brings transformation. Because what I've observed in my life is that yoga is the result of all aspects of my life. To have this unadulterated, this direct connection, it's the sum total of all aspects of Brahman life. And many times I've seen Baba's children say, you know, I want to have more yoga. Is there anyone in this room who hasn't said that at some point? And so what we do is we sit in yoga more, and what happens? The mind wanders more. Why? Because we haven't laid the accurate foundation. Because to have quality yoga, we have to build each step accurately, and it ultimately releases my intellect to have total absorption in one. So what I attempted to do before you came in was a little diagram over here. What do you think it is? Ah. As you can see, I'm not an artist by profession. But what we're going to do, this is like the volcano of spiritual experience, because sometimes Baba's children just want to sit down and go to Baba. The mind wanders everywhere. And after a while, I start to lose confidence that I can have good meditation. And this is when we start to put all our energy into service, because we're not successful in yoga. And I think we've got to build it like step by step. The first step, I'm going to write here. I don't know whether you can... Should I write in a darker pen? The first word I'm writing here is awareness. Now, I remember once Baba said that the foundation of good meditation are the two principles of freedom. Because what we're doing here is we're building the volcano, and each step is freeing my mind from wandering, being attracted, being influenced. So if I build it accurately, all the things that pull me are removed if I really follow the steps systematically. So the first principle of freedom is to have all relationships with one Baba. And the first time I met Baba, you imagine I was a few months in Gyan. I sat in front of Baba in the history hall, and Baba said to me, "Do you have one Shiv Baba and none other?" I was 3 months in Gyan. I went, "Yes." You can't say no in front of Baba. The next question he asked me, "Are you stable on drama?" And I went, "Yes." Obviously I wasn't. But it's like, I think that when I have all relationships with one, it's a very deep and subtle thing. And to me, it's the most powerful point of spiritual knowledge. It's actually the bedrock, the foundation to have deep yoga. Because if I remember the one who's incorporeal, egoless and viceless, what do I become? But if I remember the one who's incorporeal, egoless and viceless, and I also remember bodily beings, what happens? Subtly, I sustain my impurity. It's a very subtle thing. I give life to the sanskaras connected to human relationships. And that's why if I really want to build this volcano, the first step or principle of freedom, all relationships with one Baba. The second is Baba, everything is yours. Because that starts to resolve the account of I and my. And that's a whole story in itself. So first, we build the step of awareness. The second, I would say, is lifestyle. And I often feel that when people say to me, "I can't meditate well, my mind wanders here and there whenever I sit," you know, my response is, look not at the hour you're sitting to meditate, but look at the 16 to 18 hours of the day. Because we all know that when my karmas, my actions, my interactions are not accurate, it's like my thoughts influence my actions and my actions influence my thoughts. This is so fundamental. And I would say that, you know, when you sit to meditate, if during the day I've been a little bit critical of somebody, I've gossiped about somebody, I've been attracted to somebody, I've been influenced by somebody, when you go, when you sit quietly, what comes into the screen of your mind? These subtle karmas start to irritate your thinking, and you can't go beyond at that time. And this is a very, I think, probably the deepest reason why we can't meditate. Well, it's our behavior and our actions throughout the day. So when our actions are accurate, it releases the soul. And this is why, really, what does Baba say next to being soul conscious, remember him? He says, follow Srimat. And that to me is never a set of rules and regulations. It's a deep code of truth of how to live in this physical world. Because if I follow Baba's directions, it releases me from those subtle bad karmas, those subtle negative karmas. And it frees the intellect by being pulled. Even Baba says not only to follow Srimat, he talks about disinterest, virag. That frees me from the pull, the attraction, the influence of the world. Even Baba talks about surrender and renunciation. I often think surrender is of all the good things I bring to Baba. My skills, my talents, my wealth, all that. Because sometimes I can have a little bit of pride or whatever. I surrender that. Renunciation is of the rubbish. It's almost like I'm preparing my intellect. Once again, I'm preparing it accurately to free it, to go beyond. And I remember once Daddy Gulzar talked about the Mariadas of yoga. And she talked about the four lines, that if you remain within the four lines, you can fly. The first line was practicing soul consciousness. The second was churning. The third was heart-to-heart conversation. The fourth was seed stage. The first was soul consciousness. Second, churning. Third, heart-to-heart. Fourth is the seed stage. What she was saying is that if I keep my mind within those parameters during the day, when you sit to go to Baba, you fly. You go easily. You will easily go. And so it's like I lay the foundation. And then I do the groundwork. And then for the volcano, I need to generate heat. And that is love. The great power to make the soul free from the body, become bodiless, to propel me out of the consciousness of the body is deep, rich love for Baba. And I love the spiritual principle that wherever your heart goes, your mind will follow. So it becomes natural concentration. If you sit down and try to concentrate, how long can you do it for? 1 second? 0.1 of a second? But where the heart is engaged, the mind will follow. And this is where I think that really I need to experience how lovable Baba is. Quite frankly, I think some of us are in love with the concept that Baba is the ocean of love. It's still a concept or a belief. But I've got to learn that there is no soul as lovable as Baba, as attractive. Purity attracts the feelings of love. Innocence attracts. And when I begin to really experience that, it starts to help me go beyond the body. And what I love to do myself is sit in front of Baba and allow myself to be completely loved. Give yourself permission. I'm sitting in front of perfect love, the ocean of love. And if I don't experience it, then I need to ask the question, why? What is blocking that love? Because it's this love that is the heat that propels the soul beyond the consciousness of the body. And I become bodiless. And you know, becoming bodiless, did you feel bodiless in that few minutes? Because this is, as Baba was saying, that foundation practice. Because when you really think, bodilessness breaks the back of body consciousness each time I do it. And it's like in 1 second, I let go the consciousness of the body. In 1 second, I let go the consciousness of bodily relations. In 1 second, I let go the consciousness of service. In 1 second, I let go the consciousness of all the roles and responsibilities. It's like so many of the things that have sustained me for the last half cycle, I'm letting them go and going beyond. And that's why this practice, I think, really makes us so strong. And it's love that gives me the power to go beyond the consciousness of the body. Then, finally, silence. And when I'm beyond the consciousness of the body, it's like I'm just absorbed in Shiv Baba. And I experience the true nature of who I am. It's not that I believe it, I am it. I just feel who I am, and I feel so close to Shiv Baba at that time. And because I've done the groundwork, because I've freed myself, it's like I've closed down the gateways of the ears and the eyes. The soul is beyond all those influences. And it's like I can really hear Shiv Baba. It's almost like the mind is so still. I'm so tuned into Baba. And I can hear what Baba wants from me. I can feel. It's almost like Baba's light, that silence, enters the depth of my being. And I can feel the cleaning, the reviving, the healing that goes on at that particular time. That experience of, it's almost like the purity of resonating on the same frequency as God. Hardly thinking, just absorbing, experiencing, feeling. And the mind has such a light feeling, a joyous feeling, even a blissful feeling. These experiences nurture the core of my being. But many times we think that I just want to sit down and go there. And that's why I think when we really start from scratch and make sure each step is accurate in my spiritual journey, in my spiritual life, it releases the soul. And the result is the volcano starts to burn with spiritual experience. And I think, you know, I think this is why we all came. Is that true? I think we all came because we know that is there. And sometimes, who had some of these experiences early in your Brahman life, can I ask? Say the majority in the hall. Can I just honestly, who's found it harder later in Brahman life? And this is where I think sometimes we develop little habits, behaviors, stuff about other people. These subtle karmas and things don't allow the soul to really be free, to have that total absorption. One effort I make, and I'm constantly trying to do this, is that I feel so much happens in life. You know how each day you interact with many people, they say things, situations happen, and you need to process. You know, you need to sort out your feelings. So when do we do it mostly? When you meditate. That's not the time to do it. You need to process, there's no doubt, sometimes to use knowledge. But to me, a knowledgeful soul looks through the filter of truth. You interpret every scene through Baba's truth. But when you sit to meditate, if you usually just sit with no aim, you will meander all over the place. And suddenly, oh, the music's gone, and I've spent half an hour, and I went home, and I went to work, and I went into the kitchen, and I went here, and, you know? We meander everywhere. But processing, I'd really try not to process too much at all, in fact, when you meditate. And if you really realize that, yes, we have to resolve things, but not when you meditate. When we sit, if I have the discipline to try and go beyond, then I accumulate spiritual power. If we don't, I feel often because we follow principles, it sustains us, but it's not actually accumulating more spiritual strength inside of me, which is really what we want to do. And so this sort of volcano of spiritual experience is really based on each step, one after the other, being really accurate. Now, there's a little bit of time, and time's a bit short this afternoon, but if anyone has any questions or any comments or anything you'd like to ask, yes, please. I think we're going to have another microphone, if it's okay, but
so I'm asking you from your own experience. For example, sometimes we sit, maybe because our lifestyle is not the best, we go beyond, and then, like Baba says, sometimes some old sanskaras pop up, like when you take homeopathic medicine, all the disease pops up. So sometimes we sit and we are not able to sustain that stage because we just felt some energy, some pulls on the mind. From your experience, what is the best to do?
Is there anyone in this room that hasn't experienced that? It's absolutely normal and natural that all those sort of things will come in front of you. But I think that if you maintain the awareness, because I've seen on the journey of Brahman life, we have a childhood which is very sweet. Then as we grow up, we start to have more obstacles. But sometimes we have a spiritual midlife crisis. And in a way, I think it's because our bhakti sanskara is to suppress. And a lot we feel we've changed. We're protected by the principles to a certain extent. We're not doing too much further bad karma. But sometimes after 10 years or 15 years, some very strong sanskaras emerge and it rocks the soul's, feeling in that way. But then the soul sometimes begins to doubt, is this for me? Am I a Brahman? Can I become pure? Has anyone... We all know this is a part of the journey. I always say, don't think you're going backwards. Doesn't happen to everybody, but to many of us, the strength of those sanskaras. And that's where I've got to really have the honesty with myself to try to see what is the quality of my meditation. Because sometimes I just sit down and I'm just processing life, processing my feelings, and I'm not in touch with Baba at that time. And that's where I think, even though it's sometimes difficult, I've really got to try and make sure that every aspect of my life is accurate and I will come through the other side. But those eruptions will happen to basically everybody as you go along. And what I've learned is not to overreact to myself. Because sometimes I think on this journey, anger, ego, greed, lust and attachment will come to every single one of us in different forms. Baba says this, but I find the reactions do more damage. Shame, guilt, lack of self-respect, they do the real damage. So sometimes, you know, I see an impurity come inside and I react, oh look what I'm thinking this, and Baba says to be pure. And actually that reaction makes it even worse. A knowledgeful soul can even learn to observe my inner process. You know, and I often feel it's not wrong, it's not bad, it's a part of the journey. And after a while, when we reach maturity, I think it's like I have the power to face those things that come through. But where we get strength is from yoga. And if my yoga is so wishy-washy, I'm not, you know, that's when I really battle. And in amongst things, I really have to try and refocus and see what part of this pyramid is not working. You know, what part? Is it love? Is it some inaccurate actions? Is it a dependent relationship? Because honesty is needed to really see why I'm not experiencing. But I always say the main thing is no matter what, never ever give up. Because sometimes the sanskaras, the feelings will create a lot of self-doubt. They do. Yes. It's like, in a sense, the foundation to build the pyramid is the awareness of truth, I would say. That the fundamental healing, the fundamental thing to have quality yoga, even to have yoga, is to have all relationships with Baba. It's almost like, you know, what I often feel is that, you know, the soul that has all relationships with Baba, Baba trusts that soul. And it's integral to be able to go beyond. Because even when subtly I have dependent relationships, and this is why this path is so high, it's like I was saying, I sustain a set of sanskaras in the soul. And this is why often I feel we don't feel spiritual progress, because on one hand, we're making so much effort to remember Baba, but on the other hand, I'm sustaining subtle dependent relationships. So I'm sustaining a set of sanskaras, of body conscious sanskaras. So it's like I'm making lots of effort, but I'm not really feeling I'm moving forward. And really, if you really listen to the Sakamolis these days, what I love about them, I feel it's Brahma Baba becoming perfect, and he's sharing his experience with us. And really, he's so adamant, children have all relationships. Don't remember bodily beings. It's a high destination. There's absolutely no doubt. But we are all here because we believe it's the truth. And I am a believer that we can't really conquer attachment. We can only replace it. Really. And it's like when you really feel loved by Baba, when you feel that sense of belonging and closeness, in a natural way, the soul starts to let go dependent relationships. And they are so subtle. Because when they're there, I can think about Baba and feel calm and relaxed and light. But I can't have that depth of connection, that quality of yoga. And that's why, you know, Baba sets such a high standard. But that's what we're aiming for. And I love it that, you know, Baba teaches us that, do you like that? That he gives us all the chance to follow the highest standard. So the awareness is really creating the foundation. And also just that whole account, that huge account, which I often feel is like a spider web we're all caught in, the account of I and my. You know, it's the account of insecurity in a way. And as I begin to really let go of that, it's like the foundation to build my ability to have the connection with one. Mm. Is there anything else? Everyone's gone a bit quiet. Is there anything else anyone would like to? Pardon? I don't think it's possible because, but as we were saying this morning, I think my experience is that when I came, I used to practice, you know, soul consciousness, and I was really disciplined to try to keep my yoga good. But then I think we become a bit, you know, we start to go here and there a bit, get in. But I think after a while, I came right back. I came to Madhuban once after 10 years, and I really began to think, this whole study is to become completely soul conscious. How far have I moved? From identifying with the body to identifying with the soul. From identifying with being temporary to identifying with being permanent, eternal. Identifying being physical to being non-physical. How far? And it wasn't very far at all. Because this is the real work of this life. I think it's what we have to do each day. And that's why I feel to really have your own experiments. As you go about your day, as you go to work, as you live your life, as you interact with people, experiment. My favorite experiment, like I was saying, is the one to be incorporeal. And I find wonderful experiences, and it's like entertainment. You'll entertain. It's not bland or boring, but it's like entertaining because it's like you look through a different prism. And you see a whole different experience and a whole different world. Sometimes I think the more you become soul conscious, like going up in a lift. And the more you go up in a lift, you see life through a different perspective. You know, it's completely different. You see it more how Baba sees it. So is there anything else? Yes, please. Does keeping a chart help? It does. When I came into Gyan, you'd kept a chart. It was like a principle, like you're a vegetarian. You had to do it almost. Does anyone remember those days? Really, it was like, and I remember that, you know, we used to keep these charts. One brother made a chart. It had 108 points in it. I never once finished it. I fell asleep. So that's sort of a bit over the top. And Daddy Jenke said a very interesting thing in the early 1980s or the mid-1980s. She said, only keep a chart if it's a positive experience. Because, you know, in those days, sometimes the chart was, how much did you remember, Baba? Oh, 2 minutes and 3 seconds. You know. Did you experience any of the vices? Yes, all of them. And, you know, by the end you've finished the chart, you've lost hope, you know. So Daddy said, what is it doing? It's actually creating the sanskara of attention. This is my favorite word at the moment. And even Daddy once asked me, she said, do you make much effort? I said, no. But I do pay attention. And I think what I'm doing at the moment is I love the idea that my mind is a sacred place and this is the place inside that I only want Baba to influence. But there's gateways into that sacred place. Your ears, you hear things, comments, criticism, and sometimes it comes in here and the mind, you know, that sacred place gets churned up. Or the eyes. You see things aren't right, injustice, and we let it in to disturb the sacred space. And my feeling is to keep attention that no matter where I go, who I'm with, that's like my duty is to keep Baba's influence on that sacred space. And I often think of it like a still pond inside. And that if I let thoughts of or comments, people's comments or things I see disturb me, then the whole inner world, you know, the overactive mind kicks in. Because if I keep it calm and under Baba's influence, when I sit to meditate, I fly. But if I allow the other stuff in, I get stuck and I can't experience much. So I think a chart is really developing the sanskara to gently just watch. And you know what I've realized is not to pay attention takes a lot more effort than paying attention. Meaning, you know, when you're careless and you let a lot of negative thinking come and overtake your mind, how much energy does it take to get your mind back to that right place? But if you're constantly, as a knowledgeful soul, observing your thoughts, and when you step over the boundary of truth, instantly you're aware and you bring it back. This is a knowledgeful soul. You're aware of your own process, and as your thoughts step over the line of Srimat or Baba's directions or Baba's way, you have the honesty with yourself and the strength. And it's constantly just correcting in a gentle way. And that actually doesn't take as much energy as when you lose everything and then you have to bring your thoughts right back again. Okay. Is there anything else? Or yes, Rami.
When waste or any other things come as correcting the self, but sometimes it happens like justifying the self also, because when I'm sitting in yoga, like at the back of my mind, the thoughts of Baba and Baba's love and my love for Baba and all those, and Baba's directions, all those things there at the back of my mind, but at the same time the other thoughts come, so then finally after time finishes, then and still justifies that, okay, anyway, I was still with Baba. And so,
you know, I think some years ago I began to really churn all the forms of self-deception that have been built in the soul in the second half of the cycle, like that. And really a knowledgeful soul, because sometimes under the self-deception, I try to justify things or justify my perspective, you know, whatever it is inside. But really, you know, as I was saying this morning when we started, Baba said that becoming the authority of experience is actually applying knowledge to daily life. And I often feel God has given me a whole truth, and that's how I should interpret my own self and every scene of life and every relationship through that filter of truth. You know, I understand it in the way that Baba gives me, because otherwise we can deceive ourselves in so many ways. And that's where I think self-awareness and honesty, when I step over the line, I know. A knowledgeful soul will know when I'm deceiving myself or I've stepped out of the boundaries of truth in that time. Okay, so I thought we'll finish with some meditation. And we seem to have lost our brother with the music. Just for these few minutes, if we put books down and things, can I suggest for these few minutes to begin with a very determined thought, not just to listen, I'll provide a few thoughts, but to experience. And when your mind starts to wander gently, just gently refocus it once again. Baba, I came to you to know you completely. I feel your purest intentions for me. I hear what you want me to do. For a few moments, just experience the sweetness of this silent connection. Is there anything sweeter than being lost in this world of pure silence with you, Baba? I feel so light and strong. This connection fills my mind with so many sweet feelings. And as I come back into action, carry these sweet feelings with me. Om Shanti. Thanks very much, everybody.